Well, desire and interest in your prayers this afternoon, that the Lord would meet with us and open up His Word, that it would be effectual in our lives. I'd like to pick right back up where we left off this morning in 2 Samuel in the 5th chapter. We will begin reading with verse 22. This is after the Philistines had come. They had been defeated when David inquired of the Lord and asked what God wanted him to do. David was obedient. God gave them a victory. And then David gave glory to the Lord. Verse 22, and it said, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now, Philistines lost, then they came again. Have you ever had things in life, enemies, battles, questions, decisions, things you didn't understand, problems of some kind or another, and you thought you came out on top, you had things under control, you understood where things were at, and then they came back again? Do you remember when Satan came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness? The Son of God was tempted, and then it says the devil went away. But what is the? How long did he stay away? Anybody remember? It says he went away for a season, which let me know he came back. And if he came back to the Lord, I know good and well, not just because he did it to Christ, but I know personally, as I'm sure you do, the devil doesn't stay away. You can resist him and he will have to flee from you, but the devil's going to try to come back in, maybe in some different clothes, in a little different manner, a little different way, but he comes back. That's what David found with the Philistines. He'd won the battle and defeated them, but they came back. And I find in life, and Lord help us not to be discouraged with repeated battles. All right? Because sometimes it can be a little discouraging in our humanity when it's like, I thought that was taken care of. Have you ever had someone really do you wrong and you forgave them? You had peace. You had victory. You forgave them. Truly, I had victory over it. And then later on, the devil came back. And all of a sudden, it seemed like you were fighting that same old battle. That can kind of be in the flesh a little bit discouraging. But do you know that's just part of life? And if we will stay obedient to the Lord, the devil's going to have to keep going. He may keep coming back, but I know this, by the grace of God, he's going to keep going away defeated. And he doesn't have to overcome us, because as the Scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So although the devil keeps trying to come back, we can know that we are on the winning side and we're going to be victorious. If we'll just stay on Christ's side, and the devil may come and he may try to beat us around a little bit, but I know this, I don't have any doubt in my mind who's going to come out on top. I remember my father telling me of a time that I was taken out of service for a little admonishment, and my dad had me in the car, and I think he was fixing to give me a spanking, or he already had, and Brother Austin had walked by. And he said, Clifford, he said, you having a little battle of the wills? My dad told me, he said, yes, he said, there's no doubt in my mind who's going to come out on top. Do you know that we can have that kind of an experience in our dealings with the devil? I know he came back. I know that he may have not stayed away, and I know he came back, but there's no doubt in my mind, because God has more power than the enemy. So if I will just keep my heart humble, if I will keep my heart submissive, just like David did, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord will drive the Philistines out again. So don't be discouraged if the battle comes back, because if we'll stay on the side of Christ, the devil has to go. So the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley against them. There are decisions in life that we are going to each one face that affect not only our life, but the lives of people around us. Many times people begin to think that, and it's a very selfish attitude actually, but begin to think that, you know, this is my decision. And this is my way and my decision. I can do what I want. You know, we all have that power. We are free moral agents. And we all have the power to act like we want, be what we want, go where we want, do what we want. But the reality of the fact of the matter is this, that what you do in your life is going to affect other people. Now, the whole country of Israel was benefited because David sought the Lord. Because David did not just go out in his own strength, but he sought the Lord for counsel, and he was obedient to it. Everybody had a great victory in Israel. The same thing holds for us this afternoon. Lord, help us not to begin to think that I can do whatever I want and it's my choice, because the fact of the matter is this, what I do affects my wife greatly. The choices I make and the decisions that I make, it's going to greatly impact my wife's life. It's going to impact my children's lives. The things that I do, the decisions I make, the attitudes that I have, the way I face life is going to have a great impact on my children. But it's just like a rock that you drop in water. You know, at the very beginning, you get some bigger ripples. But it doesn't just stop there. It ripples on out. And even you get a long way away and there's still some faint ripples. Do you know that what I do not only affects me and my wife and my children, but you know, to a maybe a lesser extent, it affects a lot of other people too. Do you know that that holds for you? Everything that we do has an impact to a greater or lesser extent to people that are in our lives. And if we begin to take this attitude that I can do what I want, it's a selfish way to approach life. Folks, it's not a life that's going to bring a lot of happiness. A life that brings happiness is when I realize that my life does have an impact on other people. And if I act that way, it's going to have an impact on something over here. And you know, I have seen those ripples go through generations. If I choose or you choose not to serve the Lord, it's not, yes, it's a personal choice we all have, but it's going to impact our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren because I made a choice. It's having an impact. I've seen people today that for a long time they would not enter the door of a church because what someone did. I think, what kind of ripple effects does that have? All of us have it. Do you know that the way that we act and the way that the choices we make have an impact not only on our immediate families, it has an impact on the family of God. It has an impact on our fellowship in this congregation. It has an impact in the fellowship that we have as a body of Christ. Because see, if one person compromises truth and they say, this is my decision, I'm not going to be obedient in that area and I want to do it my way, we all have that choice. And no one's going to be there with a paddle and say, you better straighten up or else. Because we have a decision before the Lord how we're going to live our life. But if I compromise truth, I'm passing that on to my children. And then you come to service and say, well, look what he's doing and look what she's doing. And well, they're all doing it and they're all coming to church and they're all saved. You understand? They're all saved and quotes around that. And they're doing that. So I think I'm going to do it too. And pretty soon, this has happened in congregations. Pretty soon you can find a congregation that still has the name Church of God on the door and you would not recognize them as a people that believes in holiness. How did it happen? Many times it happened with one or two thinking, this is my personal decision and I'm just going to be different. This is how I want to do it. And it had a ripple effect. So Lord, help us to recognize the importance today of seeking God. Lord, what is your will? What do you want me to do? And when we think we have it settled, and then the devil comes back with some of the same issues, even among God's people, it's like we dealt with that 20 years ago. That we dealt with that 30 years ago. We dealt with that 5 years ago. But the devil comes back in a little different way. We need to recognize the enemy for what he is, and every time he comes back, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Mentioned this morning about minimizing regrets. We can minimize a lot of regrets in life if we will seek the Lord. seek for His counsel, and minimize those long-term negative effects. But this isn't just a negative thing. Serve the Lord, and those ripple effects that you have will impact people positively. Even if I choose to do differently, I'm still being impacted by your righteousness. I'm still being impacted by your godliness because I know that's still right. And it brings to my mind what I've departed from, and I can hear the Lord calling me back. So this impact is not just negative. Your life has a great positive impact when you will follow the Lord and seek His counsel. So in verse 23, we find that David, once again, David inquired of the Lord. Why did David inquire of the Lord? He had just had a battle with the Philistines. He had already asked the Lord what to do, and he went out and won the battle. Now the devil's back, the Philistines are back here for David. And instead of saying, okay, I'm going to do the same thing I did last time. God told me to go out and He was with me, so I'm just going to go do the same thing. He didn't do that. Isn't it human for us to do that? It's like the Lord worked this way this time, so surely we'll just do the same thing. But we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. And so David went back to the Lord, and I'm challenged by that. He went back to the Lord, same enemy, but he went back to the Lord, inquired, and the Lord said, "Thou shalt not go up." The Lord told him to do something different this time. "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of," and thus the title, "a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the hosts of the Philistines." Let's not get weary of asking God. Let's not get weary of inquiring of the Lord, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" Sometimes we say, "I prayed about it and I prayed about it, and it just seems like that I'm not getting an answer." Folks, if you don't have an answer this morning, maintain the status quo until you get an answer from God. Many times, because when we don't hear the answer, what we tend to do is, "I'll do what I did last time." And the Lord has something else in mind. Well, you know, it's hard for us to wait sometimes, isn't it? Does anybody here just ever love getting in a long line at the store? Do you look for the longest lines when you go to Walmart? I was actually, for about one of the first times, I was in line the other evening. I was in line at a drive-through restaurant. And I was at a drive-through restaurant. I was going through to pick up some food, and I was there. And I was on the phone. I thought I was trying to end the conversation, and I couldn't get off. And so I had to pull out of line and go to the back of the line and just wait a couple more cars, hoping I'd be able to get done before I had to order. But, you know, usually we don't look for the long line. I don't know what the people behind me thought. I was like, "That guy's crazy." But because we had to wait a while. But do you know, with the Lord, we tend to want the answer today. But we will get in trouble when we inquire of the Lord and don't hear Him and say, "I'm going to go ahead and move out." And that's when our prayer is, "Lord, this is what I'm doing. Would you bless me today? Would you bless me in what I'm doing?" And the Lord's saying, "I want you to be still. I want you to wait." It's kind of like the little story about the woman that her car broke down and she was at the light and the light changed and she couldn't get her car to go. So she gets out of the car and pops the hood and goes and's looking under, kind of helpless, looking around, trying to figure out and see if something's wrong with it. And the guy behind her is just pressing on the horn, just honking and honking and honking. And so finally, the lady very sweetly walks back to the man and says, "Sir," she said, "I don't know what's wrong with my car. So if you wouldn't mind getting up and looking and solving the problem, I'll honk the horn back here for you." But do you know that we do that in life? We don't like to wait. We tend to be a pretty impatient people. But when it comes to the things of God, When it comes to the things of life, big decisions, what are we going to do? Well, this one did that, and brother over here, he did that, so I guess I'll do this. Instead of saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until you talk to me and tell me what to do. We will save ourselves a lot of grief if we will inquire of the Lord, even if you've inquired once, twice, three times. It's, Lord, I want your will to be accomplished in my life. And I don't want to get self-sufficient. Remember Joshua, when they went out in the battle of Jericho, they had a great victory. You remember what happened the next battle they went out to, in the battle of Ai? They did not seek the Lord. We just won a great victory. Now here's these few people. Why do we even need to pray about that one? I've got that one covered. You know, that was a big problem I just dealt with. This one's minimal. I can take care of that, no sweat. They lost the battle. Well, there was sin in the camp, but if they would have gone to the Lord before they went out to battle and said, Lord, what do you want us to do? Here's another battle here, Lord. What do you want us to do? I believe the Lord would have revealed the sin before they were defeated by their enemy. There are some defeats, I think probably, and I don't think I'm speaking too generally, but I think probably all of us have had some defeats in life because we didn't inquire of the Lord. And so we would save ourselves some spiritual defeats, even if it's a small thing, to say, Lord, I want your will to be accomplished. What do you want me to do here? How do you want me to respond? What do I do, Lord? And not just go off of what I did last year, and the Lord told me last year what to do. But this is a new battle. This is a new day. And so I need fresh leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life today. We don't want to get self-sufficient. God told them to do something different this time, didn't he? He told David when God asked, he said, do not go up. But he said, fetch a compass behind him. In other words, set an ambush. You know what an ambush? He was talking about going back behind him. That almost looks like defeat, right? Your enemy's in front of you, and you go back behind him. It looks like you're running. I'm getting away from him. People look and say, what are you doing? Last time you went out and won, and this time what are you doing? I'm doing what the Lord told me. And it was a little bit different. Saints, Lord, help us to recognize how dependent we are on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Every single day, asking and inquiring and seeking Him. And it doesn't always make sense. Do you remember the story of Philip in the book of Acts? Philip was in a place where there was, in essence, a great revival going on. Lots of people being saved. And the Lord told him, leave that and go out in the wilderness. He said, Lord, I would be more effective right here. I could reach more people with the gospel if I could stay right here, because look at what's being done. God had another plan in mind for Philip, and he said, go out in the wilderness. And so Philip, in obedience, obeyed, and he witnessed to how many people out there? One. The Ethiopian. Remember? He met the Ethiopian that was riding in the chariot, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And the Ethiopian said, expound unto me. Explain to me. There's some things I don't understand. And he witnessed. And it has always inspired me that Christianity first went to Africa by way of Ethiopia. Now, I'm not saying it was through that man. I'm not going there. But I'm saying it has always, I've always liked that fact. Isn't that wonderful? What if he would have stayed and said, Lord, I'm more effective right here. I've had people tell me, don't go there. Don't do this. Who are we going to listen to? Lord, what do you want? The Lord knows best. So seek the face of the Lord. And that doesn't mean to close your ears to counsel. But I find that godly counsel will always direct you to listen for the voice of God. I've had times that in human understanding and human reasoning would say something very different than what the Lord says. had situations. Someone told me one time, and I could tell you common sense in just earthly wisdom and understanding would say, do it this way. And they said, you know what? I felt a check from the Lord, and I needed to not do anything. And God worked through their doing nothing because they were waiting on the Lord. So we want to be careful. Remember, godly advice will never minimize the leadings of the Word of God or the Spirit of the Lord. And again, the Spirit of the Lord will never teach us or tell us something that's contrary to the Word. Heard many people say, well, the Lord showed me thus. It wasn't the Lord, because it was contrary to His Word. The Spirit will always lead us in accordance with folks. If the Word is not clear on something and it comes down to your practical decisions of life, inquire of the Lord and wait for Him to speak. And so the instruction that was given was, come upon them against the mulberry tree, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. Now the mulberry trees, they say, were a weeping tree. In other words, a tree, some say it's like a poplar tree, an aspen, something with long stem leaves that when the wind blows, it really starts moving it. And he said, this is where you're to wait. And when you hear the going, when you hear the going, in other words, the word going is translated, it's a word that means marching. When you hear the marching in the top of the trees, it also sounds like an ankle bracelet. You know, something that's shaking when someone's marching and you start hearing that marching or that shaking. When you hear the wind blowing through the trees, that's your signal that's when you're supposed to go out and get them. Well, I want to encourage us this afternoon to wait for the going in the mulberry tree. Wait until the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. But when we have especially major decisions in life, there are many times that people begin to make decisions based on their fleshly desires. That's when and as Christians, that's when we say, Lord, bless me, rather than, Lord, what do you want me to do? We need to make our decisions not based on the flesh, not based even on the circumstances, not even based on what all the time everybody says, because sometimes you can go and you've heard me use the expression, you can preach your shop, you can go ask one minister, what should I do in this situation? And they'll give you advice like, oh, I don't really like that. So you go ask another preacher. Now you don't like that one, so you go find another one, and then they tell you what you want to hear, and then you can go say, well, the minister told me such and such. Who told you that? You've been preacher shopping. Have we been seeking the Lord? And I'm not saying don't ask the minister. I'm not saying don't seek counsel and advice. But what I'm saying is, when you start shopping to hear what you want, I mean, it doesn't have to be a preacher. It'd be anybody. You say, I'm doing this based on counsel. It's all right. We need counsel. But be careful. Be careful when you get holy, godly, scriptural counsel that we don't turn a deaf ear to it and go seek some more counsel, hoping that we'll hear something that our flesh wants to do. So here, David then was willing to wait for the sound of the going in the top of the mulberry tree. And when he heard it, it was a signal from the Lord. You know, the Spirit of the Lord still wants to give us a going in the mulberry trees today. You remember on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, it came as what? A rushing mighty wind. Folks, that was the going in the mulberry tree. It was the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful today that we still have the going in the mulberry tree. I want to wait on it, though. I don't want to just move out, say, well, last time. No, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Holy Spirit is interested, young people and children, He's interested in the decisions you have to make in your life. He's interested in where you live. He's interested in what you do. He's interested in your marriages. He's interested in your schooling. He's interested in every area that touches your life. But we need to listen for the going in the mulberry trees. Those of us that are older, we have decisions in life sometimes, big decisions that will have lots of ripples. What are we going to do? Wait for the going in the mulberry tree. Oh, saints, sometimes we get in trouble when we don't wait for the going. We don't wait for the Spirit because we feel pressed. We feel pushed. We feel pressed. We feel like that I've got to do something now. But have you not heard the going in your life? Those of us that are old, can't you testify to many times that you've heard the going in the mulberry tree? It was like, oh Lord, I'm glad I waited and I didn't go out to battle in my own strength. I'm glad I listened. I'm thankful for the times in my personal life that I've heard the sound of the going in the mulberry trees. When the Lord, when major decisions that would have impact on a lot of people, and it didn't move out according to feelings and emotions and circumstances, but Lord, I'm going to stay parked at the mulberry tree. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving. I'm not doing this or that, Lord, until the Spirit of the Lord says, this is the way, walk you in it. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes and you hear the going, that's the time to obey. That's the time to do His will. But wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, saints. He has a plan for you. He has something good in mind for us. But let's learn to wait, because when we move out on our own ability, we get out from under the influence of the Lord. There's something that's happening during the times of waiting. There's something happening, and I've heard this different times. I'm sure you've heard this little story about the man that had the dream, and in his dream, the Lord told the man to go out and push against a huge boulder that was in his yard. Next morning, the man's going to be obedient. He heard the going. And he began to push and work and couldn't budge it. But he pushed and worked and strained. And next morning he got up again, worked every day for weeks and weeks. And finally, in this desperation, frustration, he said, Lord, he said, you told me to come and push. And nothing was changing. Nothing was moving. Rock's still here. And the Lord said, look at your hand. He looked at his hands and they were calloused and hard. He looked down at his arms and his muscles had been built up. The Lord said, I can move that rock when I want to move that rock. But look at you. That man had grown. He had grown strong because he was waiting. He was doing what the Lord told him, even though nothing was changing around him. You see, the Lord can work on us during the times that we think we're just waiting. And it's like, okay, we've got to do something. Something's got to change. Something's got to... And the Lord says, wait for the sound of the going. And while we're waiting and we think time is escaping, you know, young people, I could tell you stories about my own life, and I know your parents, grandparents could tell you stories, but there have been times I remember when young, I felt the press of time. And you just felt like that, you know, I've got to do it now. You know, just press the time. You know, looking back, I've looked back on especially a certain specific situation in my life. I look back and I thought, you know what? I didn't need to feel that push. I didn't need to feel that kind of pressure. Just, it's okay. Just trust in the Lord. Just wait. But when you hear the sound, when you hear the going in the mulberry trees, move out with confidence, because I've heard the sound of the going. I remember when the Lord first, if you'll allow me to just relate briefly, and I remember the time when the Lord called us to begin ministering in Africa. I heard the going in the mulberry trees. I heard the sound of something that nothing can take the place. When the enemy would come and try to discourage, I remember other times in life when Renee and I had major life-changing decisions. And what our purpose was and is we don't want to make major changes until we hear the going in the mulberry tree. We didn't express it that way, but that's what it was. Lord, we want to wait. We want until we can move, knowing that the Lord led. And you know, sometimes the battles don't always go just like you want, but when you're moving in obedience to the mulberry trees, you know God's in control, because you're acting and moving in obedience to the Lord. But I just want to encourage us this afternoon to be careful about making major changes in life without the sound, without the going in the motor. Folks, this is our safety this afternoon. And I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that will lead us individually and personally, that I can take counsel and advice, and we should. But the Lord also, through His Spirit, will personally reveal Himself to each one of us individually, that we can go according to thus saith the Lord. I've heard the going in the mulberry tree. And do you know, there were other times in life that I wanted to hear the going in the mulberry tree so bad. Have you ever been there? It's like, Lord, I think that might be it. Do you know, those are times to just wait. Just wait. Because our flesh is a reality. We heard Sunday school, that's what the Sunday school lesson was about. You know, a lot of times our flesh, we have desires, and that's not all bad. That's okay. The Lord gave us a mind. The Lord gave us the desires, and He wants us to use those, but never contrary to the going in the mulberry tree. And there have been times in life that Renee and I have talked about stuff, and it was like we wanted to do something or not do something, as the case might have been, and it's like, oh, is this, I think that's the going. I think I hear the Lord. I think that's the Spirit of the Mark. Well, are you sure? Wait. Just wait. Wait until, because folks, when the wind starts blowing, there's no question. When you hear the going in the mulberry trees, you don't have to be like, You will know it is the Lord. The Spirit of God witnessed to me. And now you come and say, Brother Michael, why are you doing that? Because I heard the going in the mulberry tree. Because the Lord spoke to me, and I'm not doing it because my emotions or my feelings or my fleshly desires, but I heard the Spirit of God. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Folks, do you see what kind, this is the foundation that our lives are to be built on, is children of God. It's based on His Word, but the Word killeth, but the Spirit giveth life, and it's what makes this thing personal alive, is that I'm not doing it, I'm not following some dead letter, but it's real to me in my life. You know, all these decisions, I want to make them in accordance to the Word, but there are some areas the Bible doesn't spell out. There are some things that would be nice sometimes to say, oh, I can turn over here, and it says, Michael, you need to do this. Ah, there it is, it's in the Word. Well, it doesn't always do that, as you well know. So what do? Keep inquiring of the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I'm not going to deviate from the status quo until I hear the going. And when I hear the going, don't stay still then, all right? When you hear the going in the mulberry trees, move out for the Lord, and He will go with you. Thank God for the going in the mulberry tree. And then in verse 25, in conclusion, it says, and David did so. That was simple. David did so as the Lord had commanded him and smote the Philistines. Doesn't that sound good? Another story of victory. Another story of David conquering his enemies, which he did not always do. You keep reading in these chapters, you're going to find David started getting a little self-sufficient. But here, he set an example for us of how the Lord wants us to do today. Wait for the going. Be obedient to the will of God. And sometimes it's going to turn out as you think it should be. Oh, we won a great victory. But you know what? In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it talks, the faith chapter, it talks about those that had the dead raised to life, and those, all these mighty miracles. The Red Sea was parted, and God provided a ram in the thicket when Isaac was offered on the altar. But you read on down in that chapter, it begins to talk about some that died in the faith. It begins to talk about some that didn't have the dead raised. It talks about those that were stoned and slain asunder. And you could say, well, they must have been outside the order of the Lord, because we don't read about the great victories in their life. No, the victory was their faith. Our faith is the victory. That if I go out of this world stoned, and however, I want to go out moving in accordance to the going in the mulberry bush. That the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding. Folks, there's victory in that. So what it means is this. Just because you follow the going in the mulberry bush and you wait for the Lord, you wait on the Spirit of God, when you are obedient, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to like you. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to agree with you. It doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out just what you might say perfectly. If this was God's will, then surely everything should just fall into place. No, but the Lord's going to be there. The presence of God is going to be there. There's going to be peace. There's going to be love. There's going to be forgiveness. There's going to be joy. That sounds like the fruit of the Spirit, doesn't it? How'd that happen? Because we moved in accordance to the going in the mulberry bush. And therein you find that this is a place of peace, even when there's still a battle. Even when the Philistines, Lord, I thought you were going to just smite them like you did last time. Well, the battle's going to be a little protracted this time, but I gave you the going, so you just go out there and let me work. Then it's not our, it's out of our hands then. Lord, help me to be submissive. Oh, there's so much that could be said, but Lord, help us this afternoon to not be afraid to wait. Inquire of the Lord. And don't get tired of asking. If you don't have the answer, don't just make your own decision. Have you noticed children, sometimes they come, mom, dad, and they ask a question. And as parents, I don't know what it is about us. Sometimes you notice that you don't answer immediately. Children, is that true? Be careful, but I'm asking. You know, sometimes we come and, you know, I mean, I remember we all go through that. And it's like, well, I asked and they didn't really give me a real straight answer and I'm still not quite sure what. And they come back again, Dad, can such and such or Mom such and such. Well, you know, and we just do you know, I'm not telling you children to be pester or be persistent, but do you know, you shouldn't just say, well, I asked them and they didn't tell me, so I'll go do what I want. No, you wait till you get an answer from Mom and Dad. Maybe there's a reason they're kind of just delaying the answer. There's reasons sometimes for that. But with the Lord, it's the same way. If we're not sure what the Lord wants us to do, let's not make decisions on our own and say, well, I asked the Lord and He didn't tell me, so I think this is what I'm going to do. We're going to end up getting in trouble. But let's wait and know that while we're waiting, do you know what's happening? We're growing. We're growing spiritually, and we'll start growing in wisdom too as we learn to wait. And the Lord will help us. And then when we hear the going, move out with assurance and God's going to be with us. I thank God for the going in the mulberry tree, for His Spirit this afternoon.